folks. It is Sunday, the 29th of January, 2017. You're listening to episode 55 of AIH Superfans Podcast. I am one of your superfan pals. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip. We should
know the order. RB underscore 18. It's your pal Ryan.
Hey, it's Roddy. Big Pappy Peg City. Hot dogs or sandwiches?
And it's John. You can find me on twitter.com at game95.
All right. So we are in the All-Star break, which for me, anyways, is the most boring week of the hockey season. I don't know if any of you have watched watched yesterday. Did anyone watch?
Nope.
I did.
You did? What'd you think?
I did not.
Oh, no. You did not?
No.
I saw part of it, and it was horrible.
Isn't the skills competition just players fucking around for a couple of hours?
Yeah.
The
crowd was totally not into it at all. It was boring. It was boring. You get to see players skate around without their helmets on and their mullets flying in the air, and it's, you know, that's the excitement of it all.
Is anyone planning on watching the All-Star game today?
Nope.
Yeah, I've got homework to do, so no. I procrastinate a lot, but even, I draw the line there.
Even more important, is anybody planning on watching the Royal Rumble tonight?
Me? Also no.
Me. No. It's going to be amazing, guys. Trust me, amazing. So I guess we're going to go over some mid-season grades, because why not be like every other hockey show on the planet and do the same thing here? And before we get into that, though, let's talk a little bit about the week that passed. So since we last recorded, the Jets, let's see here. We recorded after the St. Louis win, because we were super salty, even though they'd won two in a row. Since then, on Monday, the Jets fall 3-2 to Anaheim. Tuesday, they fall 4-3 to San Jose. And then on Thursday, they make a comeback and win again in Chicago, 5-3, heading into the All-Star break. Pavlik in net for the two losses, and Hellebuck in net for the win against Chicago. Anybody have any commentary about the week?
It's the goaltending.
Andrew Kopp is an elite NHL winger.
Oh my god.
Yeah, him scoring doesn't help at all, though.
Ever since Pavlik's been up, the four games he played, and then Hellebuck in net, they've allowed three goals minimum in each game. But Chicago dominated them in that game, and Hellebuck kept them in. He was the only one that put in a save percentage above .920. And they should have lost that game too, if not for those two goals in a minute in the final 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Just to give you some stats here, looking at the three goaltenders for the Jets, who do you think is the third-ranked goaltender as of today?
I know.
Go for it.
Andre
Pavlik. So Andre Pavlik is four games, two wins, two losses, 3.31 goals against average, .894 save percentage. That ties him in save percentage with Michael Hutchinson, who everybody has agreed is having a terrible season. But I guess the tie is broken because Hutch has a better goals against average, slightly. And Connor Hellebuck, after the game against Chicago, his save percentage is at a .908, which is A, not good, and B, better than Pavlik's over the last number of seasons, with the exception of one. So there you go.
Small sample size.
And Pavlik, actually, I think he's got the higher 5-on-5 save percentage out of the between him and Hutchinson. But I mean, like you said, four games, it's whatever. We know what Pavlik is career wise, and safe to assume that he wouldn't be that great 5-on-5 anyway. So yeah, it's whatever.
I was just surprised that in the Chicago game they were able to play with such poise with a goalie. There wasn't Andre Pavlik behind them. It was so weird.
Yeah, you know, and after being scored on and you know, giving up the lead, you know, because, you know, this team usually folds when Hellebuck allows a goal. Especially that third one was kind of a soft one. So you think they'd give up on the guy?
Well, maybe having Andre's presence on the bench.
That's what I was just going to say. His veteran Civ presence on the bench should keep the boys as well.
It's the dreamy smile that keeps them calm and focused.
Right. Yep.
All right. Very professional commentary on this show. So Winnipeg now sits 24th overall in the league. Of course, still, I believe, having played the most games, they are tied with Boston at 52 played. So at least they're leading in something. And they are 23-25-4 for 50 points. They're still out of the wild card spot, though with everybody in the West, at least in that cluster just ahead of the Jets, not doing all that shit hot. I guess there's still talk that they can chase other teams down. And yeah, I've heard a few commentators say things like, well, if they string together six or seven wins, it's like, how about three?
Three sacks? Come on.
Baby steps, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, of course, if the Jets win a whole bunch of their last 30 games, you know, if they win 20 to 25 of them, they'll probably be in a good position. The problem is they haven't done anything like that in a year and a half, and time is running out, so we will see what happens there.
Yeah, they're still the third last in the entire league, 28th in points percentage at .481, and there are only four teams below the 500 mark in that. So those games in hand, it's a mirage. You know, they like to think they're close, but yeah, unless they do string together six, seven wins in a row, every win is just delaying the inevitable.
When we were commenting about the week, I got a sense there still wasn't a lot of enthusiasm about Andrew Copp's play, but don't you think he's done relatively well being placed on one of the top lines?
Yeah, like his line mates are helping him, like they're creating space, but like, you know, like Blake Wheeler is pretty much a god at creating offense, but I you can't give him all the credit. I mean, kudos to him for like executing at least. Like he's been given a pretty nice opportunity, and he's making the absolute most of it. You can't really complain about it.
All of a sudden, he went from, 8% shooter to an 18% shooter? That change happened overnight, and it's probably sample size related.
Yeah, it's going to regress, definitely.
But yeah, he's done well. I'm at five goals in three straight. I mean, I don't know. Would Batan have scored up there with them too? Maybe.
Does anybody want to comment on any former Winnipeg Jets who may be doing well with other franchises right now?
They all did well the other night.
Yeah, the same night, Ladd scored two in a win, Kane scored two, and then Alex Burmistrov scored his first of the year and is a point-per-game player through six
PPG
games.
PPG Bernie! PPG Burmy.
Kind of like it's Andrew Copp, right? I mean, that'll probably regress, but...
No, his will stay up, though, I think.
Okay.
I still have my hopes out that, you know, we've got a month left till trade deadline, that Burmy keeps this up and Arizona trades him and gets something.
To Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It would be just amazing. So we're going to get into, I guess, our rankings or our grades for players in the Jets at this point in the season. I do have to say that I'm still going to be fair and as honest as possible. I have to be nice to Chevy and True North on Twitter for a few more days because, I got retweeted 100 times on Bell Let's Talk Day. So, I have to do it there, but on this show, I mean, I'll be fair. That's all I can promise. You know, honestly.
I might be.
Huh?
I might be fair. We'll see.
Honesty from your boy Slip. And, all right. So what we'll do is, we'll start with, forwards. And, basically I've got the list of all the forwards. I'll just go in order, from where they sit in, scoring on the team right now, because I'm on NHL.com. And I will also read out kind of what their salary is and what their contract looks like. And then I guess we can go around the horn and grade them. So let's start at the top. And it's show number 55, which means that Shifley is first. We have 49 games played, 22 goals, 26 assists, 48 points so far. He's a point a game player on the season. Still almost 21% on that shooting percentage, playing 20 minutes a game. And he, of course, has just started in year one of his $6.125 million per year contract for 8 seasons. So he's wearing the A. Does anybody want to give him an A? All right. I'll go first. I am going to give him I'm going to give him a B plus. I think that points wise he's been great. He started the season off red hot. I think, as we've mentioned before, that he's been playing hurt, but he's still producing. He's on that top line. I think that he's done a pretty good job and he's better on faceoffs too. Not amazing yet, but better.
I think I'd give him, maybe a B, or maybe just even a B. His two-way play hasn't really impressed me this year, but like you said, you mentioned the injury. It looks like he's at pretty much 100% now. I think if we look at him at the end of the year, it'll be closer to an A. Like, I expect his two-way play to really pick up, but for the time being, the points are great, but the two-way play's kind of been a letdown this year, so I'm just going to give him a B.
Yeah, all right. I don't think you can give him an A based on the two-way play, but I mean, point per game player is pretty impressive. Although that empty net goal he scored the other night was offside. too bad they wasted their challenge and couldn't challenge again. But anyways, his two-way play. You can't knock the production, but he's definitely not a dominant two-way player. And we'll see what happens after this. Maybe the All-Star break will let him get back to 100%. But yeah, a solid B, maybe a B plus.
Are we grading on a garbage time curve, or
you can grade on any curve you want? There are no rules.
I would have to give him a B. Yeah, B, B plus, somewhere in that range. He needs to up his game defensively. Same thing you guys are saying. But I think he's had a good year. He is the points leader, right? So we got to give him some shine on that, right?
He is also making $6 million, though. It's not like he's on his entry level deal anymore.
So he's got to be doing this. Like, this is what we would expect, right?
He's the number one center, so he's the leading scorer. Yeah,
we're gonna get comments from fans as well of the show that we asked to send us notes. But I will note that Hanger Hockey wanted to give Scheifele a Katuri A. All right. Nick Ehlers is next. 52 games played, 17 goals, 27 assists, 44 points. Playing about 18 minutes a game, playing on the Scheifele line. Second on the team in shots on goal with 129. I'm going to give Nick Ehlers an A. He's not perfect, obviously, yet. I should note he's still on his entry-level contract, so he's earning just under $900,000 a year. I believe that there are potential performance bonuses of up to $675,000. Based on all that, second year in the league, he's not a perfect player. There are still some defensive issues in his game, too. But I'm giving him an A because he is, to me, the most exciting player on this team. And I'm thrilled to looking ahead at what he can do. Probably more than Liney right now.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an A-. Like you said, it's just he's super exciting. He's a zone entry machine. He flies out there. He's going to improve, but yeah, for the time being, A-. I mean, how many points does he have right now? Like, he's up there in points, too.
44 in 52 games. He's top 20 in the league.
And that's a lot of it is at even strength, too. So yeah, I think a bit better than Scheifele this year. I'll give him an A-.
Yep, I would give him an A-, too. He's super exciting. That shot is awesome, too. Like you said, possession, zone entry monster. I still don't love how he kind of flops around. I mean, that diving history of his, every now and again I see him kind of fall down, and I'm just like, oh, he's going to get fined again. So, but other than that.
Every time he falls down, I don't believe him. When he's he goes to the bench and he looks pissed off. It's like, oh, you got to quit that.
Yeah, but on his entry-level deal, top 20 in the league. Super exciting. And pretty lucky that the Canucks took Jake Virtanen.
Thanks, Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an A. He's been the story, I think. Like, he's emerged, and his emergence this year has been great. Just imagine if he could finish for that spell that he didn't, that he couldn't buy a goal. Like, I mean, he'd be leading the team, but well, yeah.
Scheifele and Liney were finishing for him in that, and during that period of time, right? The luck was tilted in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, for sure. And but you know what? Yeah, he's the only one that can effectively carry the puck in every single time, and you know he's been good on the power play too. So yeah, I'll give him an A.
Blake Wheeler, he is third in scoring on the team. 52 games played, 15 goals, 26 assists, 41 points, playing 20 minutes a game. He's obviously the captain of the team. He is still 2 years after this on a $5.6 million per season deal. I'm going to give Blake Wheeler, I'm going to go with a B-. I think that things have been a little bit better as of late, but certainly I think got off to a relatively slow start on the year. I don't know what it is, because I mean, this is all based on nothing, but I'm still not as enamored with him as a captain as I was with Andrew Ladd, but, I'm sure that the players are very pleased with him, and so is the coach. So, but I'm going to go with a B-.
I'm actually going to counter that with, I think he's the best player on this team. I might actually go A+ for Blake Wheeler. He's an elite winger ever since. Actually, it's one thing you can give Maurice credit for is kind of turning Wheeler into an elite winger in this league. His possession numbers are just, they're through the roof. He's absolutely crazy. He'll carry anybody, like Andrew Kopp, for example. I think he's sitting in the top 10 right now in forwards for Corsi 4 relative to team. He's just an absolute monster at 5-on-5.
Well, that's the last time we're hearing from John on this show, everybody. We don't disagree with each other on this show. Damn it.
Yeah, I would give Wheeler a B+. I'll give him an A+ for his snappy attitude to the media. apparently, he's not very well liked for in the media right now because he's a jerk to them. But at least he answers the bell. I mean, he wears the C, and he's the only one. Him and Maurice are the only guys that talk to the media. On the ice, yeah, he's a possession machine. I don't know. There's something about I don't like him on the half wall on the power play, though. That's not his call, I guess, unless he's exerting his captaincy and saying, "I want to play there." But yeah, he's been really good. Not as good as last year. Is he the best player on the team right now? Yep. Will he be going forward? No. But I'm a little worried about him starting to fall back because he's what, 30 now?
I think he's
30. But yeah, he's been good to me. Just not great. Just really really good. But yeah.
I'm gonna give him an A. I think he's been really good, and I think you know what, he's been asked to, you know, he's been deployed in different situations with different line mates all year, and he's excelled, and like John said, he's carried players for a certain amount, a certain stretch. He's been great on the PK. He's probably, you know, when he's on the PK, standing people up at the line and making the entry difficult, the Jets PK is much better, but. I'd give him an A. He's been doing well as an emotional leader, I think, on the team, even though they're totally undisciplined. But yeah, I'll give him an A.
Patrick Laine, 44 games played, 22 goals, 18 assists, 40 points, leads rookies in scoring as of right now, and having played fewer games because he was out for 8 games with a concussion. He did, I believe, have a 3-point night in Chicago. So that was his second game back. He is playing 18 minutes a game. He is, obviously on a rookie contract with, heavy incentives. He is $925,000 a year, but, he can earn up to $2.65 million in bonuses, a number of which he's already going to cash in on. probably right now, I mean, definitely a candidate for Rookie of the Year, maybe the favorite as of where things stand today. Yeah, there you have it. I'm going to give Liney an A. Obviously, better, I think, than expected in terms of production. Very exciting. Obviously, probably the most exciting player to come through Winnipeg since Timu Solani at this point. So many Liney jerseys that I see when I'm at home or watching games on TV. Seems like a fun kid, tons of confidence in himself. Obviously has to keep his head up, but for an 18-year-old, you really can't ask for a lot more to step onto the team and produce like this.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to give him a B+. He's just his shot. It's like something in my lifetime, I've never really seen a guy on my team with anything that even close to his shot. It's just incredible. Two-way game possession numbers, it could use some improvement, but he is trending in the right direction right now. Like he's, I think he's kind of like Scheifele, where if we look at the end of the year, I think I'll probably end up giving him a higher grade. But for the time being, B+. And not to knock him, I mean, B+ is a pretty good grade.
Yeah, I would give him an A-. The only thing is his possession numbers, which were weak to start, whether that's the North American ice or just being a kid in a man's league. But yeah, that shot is just, it's Ovechkin light. And when as he gets older, it will be Ovechkin like. And yeah, I mean, he's producing like crazy. Pretty good for an 18-year-old. Thank the stars that the lottery balls fell that way. Don't thank Chevy. That was pure luck, but we'll take him.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an A+ because he's just lived up to expectations. Like, I mean, look at the amount of pressure that's on him, the amount of attention that this market puts on him, and the fact that he can produce when they need him to. Just the fact that their record is insane when he scores a goal. As their winning percentage is leaps and bounds where it is normally when he scores a goal in a game. Like the amount of the effect that he has on the Jets' fortunes and what he's come in to do as an 18-year-old, I don't think you could give him anything less than an A+. That's just my opinion.
Brian Little got injured on his first shift of the year, has come back, played 29 games, 13 goals, 13 assists, 27 points. He's playing almost 18 minutes a night. He's amazing on face-offs. He kills penalties. He's earning $4.7 million this year and next. Yeah, that's him. I, you know, without seeing Brian Little at the start of the year, I started to kind of forget how amazing he is. But since he's been back, he's been awesome on this team. I'm giving him an A+. I think that, you know, for based on salary and based on everything that he delivers, he's almost a point a game. He does it all for this team. He's probably the best performer, I guess, in relation to what he's getting paid.
Yeah, I'll give him an A. It's kind of, yeah, like you said, you kind of forget how great he is, and he comes back, and he's been on an absolute tear lately, and his points, I think, are a lot more sustainable. Like, you know, Laine's shooting percentage is just, it's through the roof, but Brian Little's point per game, I think it's a bit more realistic. Yeah, I give him an A. He's really, really good at hockey. What can you say?
Yeah, I would give Little an A as well. I mean, It would be an A+, except that his shooting percentage is over 20% right now. So
20%
they regress a bit, but he's nearly a point per game player. I still believe he's the best center on this team overall. His two way play is just outstanding, and he's third on the team in points per game played at 0.90. He's ahead of Ehlers, ahead of Wheeler, and if he wasn't hurt. I'm not so sure that Scheifele would be the anointed number one right now, because even this past summer, Maurice said that Little was the number one, and I still think Little would be the number one center on this team if he wasn't hurt. And even right now, I think there's an argument to be made that it's at least 1A, 1B.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an A. a borderline A plus. He's been great since he's been back. He's been the most underrated forward on this team since they've been back. So,
Arguably in the NHL too, one of the most underrated players.
Right? Absolutely, he's been the most consistent for sure, and he flies under the radar, and all he does is produce. And you know what? He's the best on face-offs on the team right now, and I'll give him an A plus actually.
All right. So far, lots of A's and B's. I think no one lower than a B minus, which was me. So we're really, really happy so far. I think that it's going to change up a little bit as. Let's move into the next part of the list. We have Matthew Perreault, 36 games played, 4 goals, 12 assists, 16 points, under half a point a game, playing 16 minutes, about 20 shifts a game. Decent, like better than 50% on the faceoffs. Perreault, last year of his first deal, 3 years at $3 million. Next year, he starts at $4.125 million, and that's a 4-year contract. And of course, right now he is injured. Shocker. I'm gonna give Perreault. I'm gonna give him a C minus. I like Perreault. I think he shows flashes of brilliance, and I've really liked his game for the past couple of years. But you can't look beyond two things. One is that the production isn't there right now, and it's probably related to number two, which is that he can't stay healthy. He's either out for periods of time, or he leaves games hurt, or he's playing hurt. And it's a product of a game that he plays that I think we like, but there's a cost to that, and we're seeing it.
Yeah, I love Matty P. I'll give him a C+. His possession numbers, I mean, they're still great this year, but like you said, the injuries, the points haven't been there this year. He's been a disappointment this year. I'm not too worried about him down the road, like his in terms of production. I think that this, I'll just label this maybe an outlier in terms of his point production. It's pretty low, but it's just really the injuries that are the only problem with him, I think, long term. It's just, you know, he gets hurt a lot.
Yes, he does. I'm going to give him a D+. He's not good this year, like really bad. And he's been playing with good players when he's playing. Like, he's not been buried down the lineup. He's 16 points in 36 games, only 4 goals, and he's the clubhouse leader at minus 12. His possession numbers are okay, but he's playing with other good possession players, and they're putting the puck in the net. He's not. And
I'm gonna hang up after that plus minus stat drop.
That was a golf related joke more so than the plus minus. But having said that, how he can be so much lower than everybody else is fascinating.
But it's like, remember that year that Ovechkin was. He was like minus 20 more than everybody else on his team. Like, I wouldn't use plus minus as relative to the league, relative to team, or any. It should just be abolished entirely. It's a horrible step.
All right. At the end of the day, he's making a lot of money to not do anything. He's going to make more money next year once his new contract kicks in. He's getting older and he's breaking down. I hope he gets claimed in the expansion draft.
He probably will. But he'll get claimed, or they'll trade him. Like the amount of chatter we hear about him being on the trade block.
He's still fourth on TSN's trade bait list, which is very interesting. And he's been one of the most vocal in the media about how unhappy he is with certain things. Right? Like he's.
Him getting an extension and him not producing, compounded with the fact that he's throwing the goaltending. He's been throwing the goaltending under the bus since the beginning of the year.
He slammed Trouba at the beginning of the year during the holdout.
Absolutely. And then he goes out and he doesn't produce. Like, I mean, why are you even speaking about your teammates in that fashion? Like, I mean, you know, Trouba held out and he comes back and he's everything as advertised, right? And here's a guy who, I don't know, it's part of the problem, right? It's part of the problem with this team is the shine on veterans and leadership and whatnot, and he's, I don't know,
Which is too bad. I do like Matthew Perreault. I like the way he plays.
I love his game. He's one slick mofo, right? Like he's pesky and he's greasy, but he's indicative of the part of the problem with this team is a separation between the veteran and the older core and the emerging youth, right? I think there's that's part of the dynamic. That's part of the problem with the dynamic with this team. But yeah, I'll give him a C- on the year. That's my grade on him.
Adam Lowry, 52 games played, 7 goals, 6 assists, 13 points. He plays power play time. He's about 16 minutes a game. He kills penalties. He's just under 50% on his faceoffs, and he is earning $1.125 million for this season and next.
There isn't a grade high enough. There isn't.
I mean, I don't even know what to say with Adam Lowry. I'm going to give him a C. He is what he is. I don't think that he is a bad player. I think that he is kind of a plug and play option that, that fills in time and doesn't do anything terrible and doesn't do anything spectacular. I don't know why he's on the power play. I think there's no reason for him to be there. Other than the just fact that you may be, you may be out of other, maybe you're out of other options. That's why, the only reason, right? Cause he stands in front of the net and, you know, 7 goals isn't going to cut it if you have that much time on the top unit. So that's where
he's,
I stand.
He's a good old boy, all Canadian dude, man. But I don't know. Why? It's like the Andrew Kopp thing. Like, why? I don't know. I'll wait my turn anyways. You guys go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with basically everything said. I'll just give him a C as well. He's just an okay third line center. He's he's very slow. Sometimes it's painful to watch. He's got stone hands. He can't. I'm surprised. Like 7 goals is more than I'd even expect with the way that he shoots. He's just an average player. C.
Yeah, I'll give him a C minus simply because, and it's not no fault of his own, I guess, and he would be a C except for his usage. Like, the fact that he's on the power play, it drives me crazy on this team. And
through no fault of his own, though.
I know.
He is what he is. He doesn't choose where he plays.
I know. Look at the players he's playing with, and he still doesn't produce. Right, like he's just there, but the coaching staff love him. The management love him. He's a remnant of the old NHL, which the Jets still tend to like, and that's no fault of his own. But he's just an. I think he would be a decent fourth line center in this league. Sadly, they have him on the third line and on special teams. So. C minus because of where he plays.
I'm going to give him 2 grades. If he was our fourth line center, I'd give him a B.
Yep. you're right. I might do the same.
Right? But where he's deployed, like on the power play, he's a D minus. As a third line center, he's a C minus. Like, it doesn't make sense where he's playing. He is what he is. He's an average big centerman who isn't great in the faceoff circle and doesn't have any finish or finesse him at all. So as a fourth line center, he'd be a B.
Which is too bad. That playoff series against Anaheim, he was really, really good. And since then, he's been really, really average at best. Yeah.
Andrew Kopp, we've been talking about him. 39 games played, 8 goals, 4 assists, 12 points. He is playing, on average, about just under 12 minutes a game, though that's increased recently with his promotion to, he's on the second line, right? He's with the Wheeler and, Scheifele recently. Now, of course, his shooting percentage, as Arby noted earlier, is almost 19% and, likely not sustainable. And, I'm gonna give Kopp a C too. I didn't think anything of him. I just thought that he was an absolute kind of plug kind of player. But I know it's based on a small sample size. But since he's produced on that top line, he's done what he's been asked to do. And he may not last up there, but for the time that he's been up there, we all rolled our eyes when he was placed on the top line, and he's kind of put it back in our faces in the last couple of games.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a C as well. I'm not going to let recency bias kick in. I mean, those 3 points are, you know, whatever. He's not going to sustain that, especially at that shooting percentage. But like I said earlier, that there is something to be said about him actually executing and making the most of the opportunity to do that, that he's being given.
Yeah, I'll give him a C. His recent stretch would almost move it up to a C+. But you also have to take into account that he played himself into the minors a couple weeks ago and had to be recalled. And, I mean, he is who he is. He's a bottom six forward. Again, he'd be a good fourth liner. Yeah, he's popped in a couple goals the past couple of games. Playing with those line mates, it shouldn't come as a huge surprise. So we'll see what he keeps doing, but he's there based on injury, not on his own play. He didn't play himself into the top six.
He's a great fourth liner. What are you going to say? Like, he's a C. Like, he's doing well with the big guys, but, you know, I'd love to see other people get other players get an opportunity on, you know, with the best players on the team too, right?
And
go ahead.
No, I'm saying I'd like to see Nick Batan in that spot, but
yeah, for sure. Well, obviously, and then you know what? Just imagine Lowry, Kopp, and Mathias would be a great fourth line. You know what I mean? Like
really, really good fourth line. Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
average line, good, really good fourth line.
You know, I think our fourth line would last at least 10 minutes a game with that as our fourth line. But obviously, they're not being deployed that way, and that's through no fault of Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry again. It's, anyways, I'm gonna beat the same drum here for a while, but
Andrew Kopp again, making $925,000, by the way, and he needs a new contract at the end of this year. Someone else who needs a new contract at the end of this year, hopefully with someone else, Drew Stafford. 34 games played, 4 goals, 8 assists, 12 points, playing 14 minutes a game. A couple of goals on the power play, 2. So 2 of his 2 of his 4. He is on the last year of his deal, $4.35 million. And, of course, right now he is also on IR. I will give Drew Stafford an F because he's a terrible signing. He's not at all worth the money that he's being paid. He's making himself borderline untradeable. Everything about this was wrong, and I'll never forgive what happened when he was the player chosen to kind of give the money to instead of taking another run at Frolik.
Benning, if you're listening, A plus, but I have to give him an F as well. I'm just so frustrated. I don't even want to talk about him, actually. It's just, he's just become such a frustrating player on this team. It's just, he's an F.
He's an F minus. Like, he's
almost so, a G.
He's, yeah, OG, all right. No, he's awful. I mean, I think that signing that deal he got, did he score like 20 last year? But I hated it when it happened. I hate it even worse now. He is untradeable. Like, if we get a 7th rounder for him, I'll like literally be excited. But he is just, what a waste of money. Like you said, I mean, Frolik's money went to him on a shorter term, and what a disaster that this has turned into. He can't stay healthy. He doesn't produce. He's slow. He can't keep up with anybody on any of his lines. F minus, and Chevy should be ashamed of himself.
Okay, tell us how you really feel.
I'm gonna give him an A plus. Fuck no. Yeah, he's an F. He's been an F since he's been here. The Jets signing him in lieu of Frolik, or having to sign him because they botched their negotiations with Frolik when he was an RFA, is really a story. Like, we've been hating on Drew Stafford for a while, but it's evident. The guy just isn't good. And he's definitely he may have a place somewhere in the league, but on the type of team the Jets are trying to be, he's just a square peg in a round hole. That's it. Bottom line.
You know, we say that he was signed as an RFA. Technically, he wasn't. He was still under contract and signed the day before free agency because he was like, well, I could wait to see what other offers I get, but this poor $4.3 million seems pretty good.
Right. We extended him, yeah, before he hit free agency as a UFA.
Yeah, now we know why.
But he also had that, that couple-day window to talk to other teams, and he's probably going, wow, no one wants me. I should probably sign this deal today.
The direct quote was, yeah, I did have an offer or two from other teams. Like, that's, you know, it's not like I wasn't getting.
Yeah, it was a one-year deal worth the league minimum somewhere else.
All right. Nick Batan, 31 games played, 1 goal, 11 assists, 12 points. He's playing about 12 minutes a game. I don't really know what else to say about him. He's earning... Where's he earning here? Where is he? Patan. Here he is. $758,000 a year. He can make $82,000 in bonuses, which, I mean, I wouldn't shake my head at an $82,000 bonus, but in terms of rookie contracts, it's peanuts. And, it's hard to grade him because you wonder how much of this is, usage and his opportunity. I still can't give him any better than a C myself. I don't think he's been given tons of opportunity, but he's been given some. He has had some power play time. He's got 7 points on the power play. He's creative. I give him a C so far, but I'd still wait and see in terms of how he's used.
Yeah.
C plus. He has as many points as Morrissey, Kopp, Stafford, Toby, in way less opportunity, playing with way less talent, 5-on-5. His hands on the power play are a treat to watch. It'd be interesting to see what he could do with better players more often. And then again, that's not on him. I mean, they're putting Kopp and Lowry up the lineup over him. And I think, what's he supposed to do? What's Burmistrov couldn't produce with Thorburn Weird. Patan can't produce with Thorburn Weird.
John, you back?
I am back, yes.
All right, what do you think of Patan?
I want to see him playing more minutes. I want to see him on the third line, or I want to see him step in where Andrew Kopp stepped in. He's there's kind of like a myth that he's not good defensively. He's actually got, just because, you know, he's small, he's not tall or whatever, he's in terms of Corsi against per 60 minutes, he's second best on the team for forwards, next to Blake Wheeler. I mean, he's a really awesome player. I guess I'd give him maybe a B minus.
Rodell.
Yeah, I'd have to give him a C because we haven't seen enough. He did really well with Wheeler when he was on his line when Little was hurt there before he got hurt. He's doing okay on the power play. He's just not being utilized correctly. Like, there's no way he should be on the fourth line instead of Andrew Kopp, but that's what we're seeing, and whatever. Like, I have to give him a C because we haven't seen enough. But.
And like somebody pointed out to me earlier, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Bones on Twitter or something. Like, Nick Batan being a fourth line center wouldn't be that bad, but it's just the fact that it's the Jets' fourth line, which usually means you're not going to get any ice time, and it usually means being saddled with Thorburn, right? Like, it's just not a good fourth line for a guy like him to play. Well, for anybody to play on, right? But he can't utilize his skill at all, carrying a couple anchors around for 5 minutes a night, 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Marco Dano, 28 games played, 3 goals, 7 assists, 10 points. He's been hurt since the end of last year. 11 minutes a game. He is earning $925,000. He is due for a new contract. I don't remember a lot about, like, it's funny having not seen him in a month. I mean, I honestly, like, in this grouping of players, I have to kind of keep them all in the same place. Like, Dano's clearly, you know, very capable player. He's, you know, he's not terribly exciting in my eyes. I know people are happy still that he's on the team. His production actually isn't that bad for 11 minutes a game, 10 points in 28 games. I'm going to give him a C.
Yeah, I'll give him a C+. It's funny because you mentioned it. I'm kind of trying to remember him this year too, and I'm struggling. Most other seasons, I give him maybe a B-, but this year I know his possession's been kind of dead. It's not as good as it used to be. Yeah, he's, from what I remember, he was just kind of maybe just average this year.
Yeah, I'll give him a C. He was fine when he was here. His points per game is 11th on the team. So if he wasn't hurt, maybe he'd still be doing okay. Going forward, will he be a player that they're going to protect or lose on the expansion draft? Who knows? Just because he's one of those, there's about a dozen guys that are all about a C on this team, and they really haven't done anything to move up and out of that spot.
Yeah, he's a C for me too. I'd like to see him on the third line with Patan and Armia, if they're ever healthy enough, or there's, you know, the personnel there for that to happen. But yeah, we haven't seen enough. He's hurt too, so yeah, C for me.
Sean Mathias, 27 games played, 7 goals, 2 assists, 9 points, playing 13 minutes a game. He was brought in, and he kills penalties. He was brought in to add some depth in the third and fourth lines. I was clamoring to give him a B. Then I looked at his salary. $2 million a year. $2.125 million for 2 years, to be honest with you. Based on that, I'm going to put him down to a C.
I'm going to give him a C as well. He scores like crazy 5-on-5, but he's just part of that that average third line that we have, right? Like, he's not incredible, but he's also not horrible. $2 million is pretty hefty. Yeah, I just give him a C.
Yeah, it's another C again. He's down on that. I mean, he's not a very good. That third line gets a lot of dap, a lot of credit for how absolutely average they are. He's on that line. I mean, he was brought in to be part of the penalty kill, which is still awful. So he's not really helping there. Yeah, he has, I mean, 7 goals, 2 assists. I mean, yeah, so he scores some goals, a couple of nice deflection goals. But he's another – that was a weird signing to me then. It still kind of is. He's a veteran on a team that's supposed to be trending young, and he's going to be here next year.
Yeah, again, I'd love to see him on the fourth line. Yeah, he's a C. What can you say about him? Like, that whole line is, you know, I guess they guys have your energy. They're big, can't finish. Yeah, whatever. He's a C. Pointless signing to me.
Joel Armia, 27 games played, 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points. He's playing 15 minutes a game. When he has played, he was hurt for a stretch. 9.25, Jesus, $925,000. He's in assigned for this year and next year. Certainly has flashes where people get very excited about him when he's kind of mucking and killing penalties, and near the end of the game, you can put him out there and he can kind of help kill the clock. So certainly in that role, I think he's done pretty well and it's noticeable. In terms of production, it's nothing. You know, 3 goals and 3 assists is nothing on the team. I'm going to give him a B-.
Really? Is John still gone?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give him a C again. He gets a lot of people excited for nothing. He does nothing. I mean, he is 6 points. He's 3 goals this year. 3 goals. And people just love when he goes for a skate. This is like year one when we were chanting GST to me.
He's not that bad.
No, he's not that bad.
But he's getting, you know, he's getting, you know what, before he got injured, he was getting a lot of chance and he's just like, wasn't finishing. He was a little bit snake bitten. I think he struggled since he's come back from injury.
How can a guy with a Finnish nationality have no finish on the ice? Like, come on.
Part of it too is he's with line mates that can't finish either, right? So he's created a lot of opportunities for the other guys too. Like he was better before his injury. He struggled since he's come back. I'd give him a C+. It would have been a B if he would have sustained what he was doing before he got injured. But he's kind of struggled since he's come back. That's my take.
I just think that he's 23 years old. Like he's not a young player anymore. Like for all the people that they love what they see out of him, I don't think there's a whole lot more ceiling. Like I think if he's reached it, he's just absolutely average fourth liner production wise.
Well, in fairness too, though, he's been injured the last couple of years, and this is like practically his first full season in the NHL, right? So he really hasn't had an opportunity until this year.
Well, he was hurt for half of it though so far too.
Yeah,
he's played 71 games in his career. He has 16 points. That doesn't excite me. Sorry.
And remember, he was drafted the same year as Scheifele, right?
Yep.
So, like, he's not your... I agree with you in that sense, Arby, even though I gave him a higher grade, is that he's getting into he-is-what-he-is territory.
Yep.
Speaking of he-is-who-he-is, Chris Thorburn. 39 games, 3 goals, 1 assist, 4 points, 7 minutes a game. F. I don't have anything else to say.
F, as in get him the F off of this team.
Who are we talking about again?
Thorburn.
it could have been a number of players.
How can you give him anything other than an F? The guy can't even win a fight. It's horrible. It's just absolutely horrible. And his take Chris Thorburn to work segments are the absolute worst.
Ugh. Yeah, I wish he'd accept a job in one of those other places.
He should drop off a couple resumes.
Brandon,
I don't think he'd get hired as a garbage man because I don't think he'd complete the garbage, putting the garbage in the truck.
Our last forward, Brandon Tanev, 38 games, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. By the way, I should have noted, Chris Thorburn earning $1.2 million the last year of his 3-year contract. So he needs to sign somewhere. Brandon Tanev, $874,000 this year. And again, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. I was at the game where he scored 2 goals. It's pretty exciting then. Hasn't really done a lot since. C-.
Yeah, he's a D to me. He's just here. He's 2 goals on the season. Yeah, he scored them both in the same game, so that he contributed to that win. But he's just here. He's an AHLer. I'm glad that Chevy was able to get an NCAA player to sign here, but he's nothing special. D. He's just there.
John, are you back?
I'm back. I reset my router, so we should be good to go now.
Okay, let's very quickly. I believe you did a Daniel grade, right? Matthias?
Yeah. Daniel Matthias, and I think that's where it stopped.
Okay, quickly, Armia.
C+.
Thorburn.
F.
Yay. Yay.
We may have also all given them Fs. And do you want to talk about Tanev a little bit?
Yeah, I'm actually probably going to give him an F too. He's really fast, but that's just about all he's really got. He's not good at anything else. He doesn't score. He doesn't drive possession. His line mates do better without him than they do with him. Like Arby said, he's an AHL player. So I mean, that's below replacement level, right? I think that's nothing. You can't really give him anything better than an F.
He's perfect for the Winnipeg market, though. Anyways. He's a younger, faster James Wright.
Yep.
That's all I gotta say. He's James Wright light. Yeah.
He wants to be here though. Yay.
So that does it for forwards. And you know what? We're approaching an hour. So why don't we, we'll save the goalies and, coaches and defensemen for next week, because it'll probably take another hour, and then we don't have to prepare anything else for the show. But in the meantime, instead of Ask the Superfans, we asked listeners to give some commentary on stuff. So I'll just read, even if they comment on goaltending and, coaching, etc., what listeners are saying, and then we'll do the same thing next week. So we have Shot Disturber at Amatudi says, regardless of injuries, Perreault is by far the superior player, and Armia much, much better than Dano. Katie Hamilton at Mint Vervain. Vervain? Vervain? Mint Vervain. Jesus. Can't read. She says, coaching, garbage emoji. Goaltending, fire, coach, garbage emoji. In other words, hot garbage. Management, snoozing emoji. Kids, emoji with hearts in their eyes. But they're a young team and we just need to be patient, I guess. Corey K at CHULCHYC. Comparing our management to other teams, I don't know how they could score greater than a D. Also says, who's earning their pay? Morrissey, Truba, an A, Buff B, Enstrom D, Stewart F, Postma-Sherratt D. We'll talk about that next week. Hanger Hockey at Hanger underscore Hockey. Shifley, Couturier, as we said before. Ehlers, not Vertanen. So A+. Liney, better than Matthews, XOXO. Wheeler C, Perreault B dot dot Roken.
Yo, yes.
He's really good with the puns.
By the way, I think Hanger Hockey, you have to check him out, Hanger underscore Hockey. He's with the Rival podcast now, so we may stop taking his tweets.
Traitorous. He's a traitorous bastard, that guy.
Yeah.
He's even brown. I don't know how he could do that to me.
Corey K again chimes in with the forwards. He gives A to Shifley, Ehlers, Liney, Little Wheeler. He gives Kopp, Matthias, Lowry, Patan a C+. Armia, Perreault C. Stafford, Thorburn, Tanev F. Zach at Wiest. It's true. He doesn't deserve a failing grade yet. Flip and flop. Flaherty, though, can we give him a Z? He's talking about the coaches. Brian from AIH, who couldn't be on today's show, said Truba A+. Oh, that's not Thorburn. That's Truba A+. Coaching F. Goaltending 3GAA. Tyler Myers, LTIR. Long-term injury. We didn't talk about Nick Patan. He gives a B+. Let's see. What else have we got? Michael at Google's 45. Offense A+. Defense B-. Goaltending C+. Coach D. Drafting A. So, I don't know. I think the consensus, again, is kind of the same as where we are. And again, we'll talk about the other positions next week. But with forwards, we've got a group at the top, and they are definitely top producers, both on this team, and I think on any other team they would be as well. So certainly at the top, we're getting really top performance. The problem is that there's a big separation between that and the next, the third and fourth lines, where it's average to bad, right?
Well, that's a saving thing compared to other years. It was primarily one line for 4 years, right? So it started to merge last year that there was a little bit more depth that forward, and this year is probably the deepest this forward core has been. It's still lacking at the bottom end, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There is a quantity of fourth liners, not a quality. There is a quantity of them. And, when Craig Button's list of his ratings, we'll just talk about the forwards, but there was five players that were above a C. Everyone else was a C or a D, and that's so accurate. There are five players on this team that are worth talking about up front, and the rest are just there.
Yep.
John, anything else to add?
There's something to be said about how bad this team has been at generating shots this year, which is really weird for Winnipeg. They've been a top 15 team in terms of shot generation ever since they got the team back, ever since they relocated. But for whatever reason, this year they're 25th in Corsi 4 per 60. I just find that to be really, really, really weird. I have no idea where that came from.
Yeah, it's on coaching. I think they're trying to play low event hockey because they don't trust their goalies.
Yeah.
So there you have it. We will get, of course, into coaching, defense, goalies, and management on next week's episode. If you have any more comments, send them to us at AIH Superfans is the handle on Twitter. Also go to arcticicehockey.com for all your Winnipeg Jets news and notes. And until we get into it next week, as well as some recaps, because the Jets are back in action after this snooze fest of an all-star weekend. We'll talk about it in a week. Until then, I'm one of your superfan pals. My name is Slip. Positive, happy Slip for another few days. Look at that. And, by the way, I'm getting a few followers. I've picked up like probably 10 since I've been on the positive kick. They're going to be so disappointed.
So disappointed.
That's hilarious. I'm big Poppy Peg City, Roddy Bats.
RB underscore 18, Ryan, your boy.
And it's John. You can find me at jmall95.
Thank you very much, John, for joining us, and we'll start a Kickstarter campaign for your new router.
Much appreciated.
All right, everybody, until next week, go Jets, go.